DW.
The mighty Mekong is a lifeline for millions of people in Asia. Communities in Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and Thailand live off fish from the river and grow crops along its banks. But there are fears a slew of hydroelectric projects could destroy their way of life. The Xayaburi Dam in Laos, which began operation last month, is the first of 11 dams slated for the Lower Mekong. And there are more than 100 others planned for the river's tributaries. Scientists warn these structures will block fish migration routes and disrupt sediment flows that keep the river and soil downstream healthy. I spoke to Maureen Harris, the Southeast Asia Program Director at the non-profit International Rivers, and I began by asking her how the dam projects are impacting the local communities she works with.
So the community's food systems, but also their way of life and their cultural traditions, things like fishing practices, are really closely tied to the river. So with all these major changes and transformation to the river system, there's food security risks, but there's also the risk of major loss of local cultural identities and cultural practices. One example, there's a project called the Lower Seisan II Hydropower Project, which is a dam that's recently come into operation on the Seisan River, which is a major tributary of the Mekong in Cambodia. And so around 5,000 people were involuntarily resettled to make way for the dam reservoir. And most of these people were indigenous groups, such as the Bunong people, and also ethnic minorities, including Lao people. So they had to change many of their traditions. So whereas communities were using land communally, according to indigenous practice, they were given individual plots of land in resettlement sites. So they had to change their way of living. And then they also had to change the types of farming that they did. So shifting from riverbank cultivation to more intensive cash cropping. People lost access to sources of livelihood like fishing, but also to water sources. And as well as these changes on the local people, that project has also had really extensive impacts on fisheries in the Mekong River. So because of its location, it cuts off two major Mekong tributaries from the Mekong Basin and blocks fish migration routes, which were previously very important in these river systems.
Do we know how many species are affected or to what extent these species are affected, or is it too early to say?
So we have some information on that from various studies. There was a study on that individual dam project that I just mentioned, the Lower Seisan II Dam, which because of its location blocking critical fish migration routes, predicted that that dam alone would reduce fish in the Mekong River by close to 10%. So a really big impact just from one single project. Other studies have given figures about the combined impact of all of these projects. So, for example, a recent study by the Mekong River Commission found that if all of the planned dams go ahead, those on the lower Mekong mainstream, but also on tributaries, the fish in the river would overall be reduced by between 40 and up to 80% by the year 2040. So you'll see far fewer fish in the river overall. And this is a big concern for the Mekong River, which is currently the second most biodiverse river in the world after the Amazon and contains over 1,000 fish species. These species include some iconic and endangered species that would be particularly affected by dam building, including the Mekong giant catfish and the Irrawaddy dolphin.
The Xayaburi hydroelectric dam on the Lower Mekong in Laos just began generating electricity a few weeks ago, at the end of October, and it was built with special features like fish ladders designed to allow fish to safely pass through. Could those kinds of measures work?
Yeah, there hasn't been studies released as yet that show the effectiveness of these measures. So because of a lot of concern around the plans for the Xayaburi Dam, there was additional investment placed into mitigation measures, including design of a fish passage. But again and again, scientists and biologists and others in the region who are studying fisheries have warned that these mitigation features or fish passage features have come from other contexts such as Europe or North America, which are very, very different from the Mekong in terms of the richness and the diversity of species. What is clear is that it wouldn't be possible to design a fish passage that can effectively mitigate impacts on the wide range of species that you have in the Mekong. So it's essentially, it's creating a test case or an experiment to see how these measures will work in the really biodiverse and rich context of the Mekong, which is a huge risk and a gamble, particularly when you're talking about people's livelihoods and food security.
You're describing quite dramatic impacts on those communities that live near the river and the communities that rely on the river for their livelihoods. Are there any examples of projects that communities have embraced as a way to deal with some of these changes?
Yeah, there are inspiring projects and initiatives being undertaken by some of the communities that we work with, including sort of promoting alternative community-driven models of development that are more in keeping with their way of life and their traditional practices and allow them to preserve that identity, as well as being more environmentally and culturally sound. So for example, on the Mekong in Cambodia, there's many ecotourism projects where people can visit a local village and stay in a local home in the village, and they can visit the Irrawaddy dolphins in the river, and they can learn about the history and the traditions of the area. There's also communities that we work with in Myanmar and Vietnam, some of whom have developed their own community-based off-grid energy projects. So using micro hydro or solar plants, and these energy projects have allowed the community to develop and manage their own energy sources and needs. And this is important because often local and rural community energy needs are not met by a large hydropower plant, where the energy often goes to power industry or to urban centres and shopping centres and things like that, rather than meeting the needs of communities who suffer most of the impacts from the project. DW.